going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, I'm sure we are all just crushed. Right? I mean, aren't you crushed? I'm crushed. Bucks lose 129-103. Sparky here. Jack Pembroke producing. Nicolay LaFantaka text line. This series is over, right? I mean, we're going to do another one of these on Tuesday, but I don't see how they win. We're being honest. This horrendous defensive effort tonight looked the exact same as game one and game two. And that has nothing to do with the Lillard thing. That just has to do with how they're playing. Lack of physicality, guys going for layups, untouched. Still waiting for somebody to do something with Haliburton. Nothing. Well, just let him run his mouth, do his thing. Naismith, at least Porter had enough of Naismith. But again, who has the last laugh at the end of the day? Naismith. Because the Bucks couldn't get within earshot of this stupid team. Nicolay LaFantaka text line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can also use social media at the Fan Milwaukee Twitter and Facebook. You record a message, sound off, send it in via the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Just come on over to the 105.7 fan there on the Odyssey app, and you're ready to roll. This right here is what pretty much ended the night and the season, and possibly next season as well.
Gary Trent Jr. tosses it up. His first shot since Friday night. He's got might get a second chance at it. Dame goes down.
Dame is hurt. Dame is hurt. Commit a foul. Dame is hurt.
And he's grasping that.
You're going to foul. You're going to grab somebody.
Yeah.
Grab somebody.
You got to stop the clock. He was kind of laboring with that left leg.
Well, I hope, you know, the way he went down, the way he's walking, that Achilles is my concern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say the Achilles is a concern of everybody at this point. And when he were where he was holding, that concern would be validated even more because of where he was holding it. So the guess at this point is that it very well could be the Achilles. If it is the Achilles, like everybody is guessing, I mean, she's gone next year. He won't be back next year either. This happened after the season. It's a at least a year recovery. So he's done. And if he's done for next year, well, you obviously aren't trading him. You could trade Kuzma. You can let Brooke walk, all of that. But you're screwed. And I don't even know what Giannis is thinking or what he's going to be thinking, because it's essentially going to be a wasted year next year from the aspect of competing for a championship. That's the only way it's not, possibly, is if a Kevin Porter Jr. develops and turns into something, right? Where, okay, no Lillard, you get to go be the guy, man. Let's go. You and me. And then, like I said, maybe you can trade Kuzma for something. I'm not quite sure what or who would even want this dude at this point, but maybe you can pull that off. But the idea of competing for a championship next year, to me, seems remote. You know, can you be a playoff team with just Giannis and whatever? Sure, probably. But I don't. And Chris Haynes was reporting an hour ago, sources, the fierce Bucks star Damian Lillard suffered a left Achilles tear. Brutal circumstance after working himself back from a blood clot diagnosis that kept him out over a month. So, that was an hour ago. We all know Haynes is connected to Lillard. So, I don't have good feelings about what this is going to be. But I am willing to listen to everybody tell me why I should not be concerned one way or the other about this. That's just crushing. I mean, it's an 8:30 game. That sucks. Then we're watching this thing till 11 o'clock. It really was never close. Again, defensively, they were horrible. And you lose your chance to yet again get through a playoff series healthy. Yet again. You didn't have Lillard at the start of the series, and you're not going to have Lillard at the end of the series. Last year against the Pacers, you didn't have Giannis at all, and you lost Lillard. You just can't stay healthy in the postseason. No matter what. Finally get Giannis healthy and able to get through, and it's going to be out in the first round again. Trail Northside, your first Milwaukee basketball postgame show, presented to you by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. What's going on, Trail?
Nah, this is terrible.
Yep.
Doc Rivers making that adjustment at halftime. I mean, he knew this was an issue before coming into this game, because he's been playing Brook Lopez to low minutes.
The reason why Indiana, well, I'm not going to say the only reason, but one of the main reasons why they always start off and having a double-digit lead on us is because of Brook Lopez. He's too slow to be on the court with that team. And, I mean, obviously Doc Rivers made a decision to, I guess, he had hurt his feelings, to bench him the second half. But, hey, the damage was already pretty much done. You can't keep digging, having your team digging a hole every game. They're down by 10, 12, 11 points, and they got to have a miraculous third quarter or a really good fourth quarter to get back in the game or maybe win a game. I mean, that was just terrible coaching. And for a guy that's supposed to be one of the coaches to hurt somebody's feelings, I didn't see that in this one right there. As far as the Dame situation, it looked like Achilles. They're saying it might be an Achilles.
Where he was holding it leads you to believe it's the Achilles, and nobody was around him when he went down.
Yeah, so if this is Achilles, I think I'm going to have to go back to what I talked to you about before, Sparky. I think the team's going to get blown up. You can't force Giannis or even expect Giannis to stay with this team when they're terrible because of health, one of the reasons, but they just haven't been able to get on the hump. When did that Cleveland owner, when did he buy into the franchise?
Dan Gilbert, Jimmy Haslam, you mean?
Yeah, when did he buy into the franchise?
Was that 2 years ago?
Oh, my God.
I think it was right around the Lillard time or right before they got Lillard, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know Brooklyn's probably going to try to throw a whole bunch at them. I don't know if they got anything the Bucks would really want or whatever, but I think it's time to have tough conversations. I know we didn't get a chance to talk about
2023 is when he bought into the Bucks.
Yeah. So then they re-signed John Horace. I mean,
extension. Yep.
Yeah, they gave him an extension. And I love John Horst for getting us that championship and all that, and kudos to him. And he'll be always remembered as a great front office guy for the Bucks because he won that championship. He helped us win that championship. But I think his days are numbered too. It should have been at least. What I guess they're not. I don't know what this team is going to do. They're going to be in flux. But I really believe I don't see any chance we got a chance to win in the current future. You can't trade Lillard. You're gonna have to. Maybe I would buy him out because he's got two more years on his contract. Next year he's not gonna be playing at all. If it is indeed an Achilles.
Correct.
So you got one more year, and no one's gonna give you anything for him because he has to prove he can even play when he comes back.
I'll tell you something. You know, this is gonna sound horrible. I'm just talking as a fan, right? Trade Kuzma, let Brook walk, trade Portis, and tell Giannis, look, man, we're gonna play with a bunch of young guys. We're probably not going to be that good, but the hope is that we can land a star young player, you know, possibly going forward. And I'd like to see what their one situations are. You know, are they lottery protected at all, or top three protected, or top five protected in the 26th draft? If they are protected, top five, top 10, whatever, if that's the case, I think that might be the way I think about going. Of okay, we're going to stink. Remember the year David Robinson got hurt? Spurs were awful, and they ended up getting Duncan the next year because they were awful that year. I mean, it's almost the same type of thing. The problem is, I just don't think Giannis is ever going to agree to that. He's going to be like, screw that. I'm not wasting a year of my career trying to hope we get a good lottery pick, which I understand if he does have that, but. I mean, I don't see another way of how you're going to get another great player to play with him at this point.
Yeah. I mean, with this injury, Sparky, with this injury that happened, and if it, you know, maybe it's not a rupture, or maybe whatever it is that he's able to play. But it surely looked like an Achilles. And if it is, he's done next year. And then there's no way you can trade him because he has to come back to prove that he still can play. And that's going to be the last year of his deal with the Bucks.
Yep.
So you get nothing for him. At all. I mean, it's just this turns out to be a wasted trade if that actually is an Achilles tear. It was a wasted trade. We gave away our chemistry for what we thought was going to be a superstar combo, and it never materialized.
But you can't project a blood clot and an Achilles rupture. I mean, in fairness to John Horst and those guys, you can't project that.
True, but I mean, even before that, I mean, we didn't even win 50 games with those two guys.
Nope, I know. Right. Yeah, thanks for the call, Troy. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. All right. Giannis was hurt last year. This year, you get a blood clot for Dame. He miraculously comes back 3 weeks later and then blows out his Achilles the second game. No, third game he's back in the series. And again, I'm assuming that he blew out the Achilles, to be fair. Because, I mean, again, watching this, and then Chris Haynes, who's tied in with Lillard, pretty much saying that's the fear. Lillard, if you see the picture of Lillard sitting on the floor, he was just sitting there, right? The play's going on. He's just sitting there as the play goes on the other end. Then finally, Doc's yelling, foul, foul. So Brick commits a foul. Lillard is sitting there with like a smirk on his face, kind of smiling like he knew what it was. Just like, I know what it is. Get me up. And then he tried to kind of walk himself in. If you remember, Kobe shot free throws after he did his and then limped off the floor. So this here, bad stuff, man. The John Horst thing, the extension for him, talked about that on Friday. I think a little bit on Thursday, but we were doing draft stuff both those days. Listen, you, in my opinion, you signed John Horst because you want to keep this thing alive and win with Giannis, and you think John Horst can continue to surround him with these veteran stars. So maybe the thought was, maybe you can trade Lillard in the offseason and get another type of star player to put with Giannis, and everything will be fine. And maybe you can figure out another way to get somebody else by packaging Kuzma and some other stuff in order to get a third star, maybe. I don't know. But he's not my guy to win a championship with if he's got to draft guys. Like, if you got to go OKC way or the Rockets way or the Spurs way of how they're trying to do it, pass. Pass. I'd rather start over with a new coach, a new GM, everything else. John Horst would be fine going somewhere else and helping build a veteran team. I think he's more than capable. He's clearly shown he knows how to make good trades and all of that. But if this is going to get blown up, as we've talked about during the week, if that's what's going to happen this offseason, and again, trading Giannis this early into an extension, I guess would be shocking to me to a degree. But if that were to happen, I mean, you're going to get a ton, obviously. I would love to know what John Horst, Wes Edens, Jimmy Haslam, Peter Fagan, like what is that conversation going to be like tonight? What's that group text look like? What does that sound like tomorrow when they're all having that conversation about what happens in the offseason? Because I mean, there's no way any of those dudes think they're winning this series. Now, like, they're adult men that have been around the league a while. Maybe not Jimmy Haslam, but the rest of them have, you know, been around this quite some time. They know the series is over. And if it's true about the Achilles and Lillard, next season, they're screwed. So then they have to figure out, what's the play? Which way do we go? You won a championship. So from that aspect, y'all will be loved forever. Possibly. And the reason I say possibly is, if you trade Giannis this summer, some will understand, a lot won't. So all that love that you earned and everything else will spin quickly to dislike from a good portion of this fan base. The core Bucks fan that understands the predicament this team is in, organization is in, may not like it, may not want it, but will at least understand why you have to do it. The casual fan will not understand, will not care to understand, and will hate you forever. That's how I assess the situation of how this whole thing is going to play out, if they go that way. Now, we'll see if they do or not. Ahmad in Greenfield, your next Milwaukee basketball postgame show, powered up by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. After the Bucks lose tonight, the Indiana Pacers, 129-103, but the story of the night, Damian Lillard going down untouched, grabbing at his Achilles, limping off the floor. Everybody suspects it is an Achilles injury. Just waiting for official word on that. If that is the case, more than likely he'll miss probably most of, if not all of, next season, on top of obviously the rest of this postseason. And then what to do next. Ahmad, what do you think, buddy? What's your take on this whole thing?
I mean, yeah, this really sucks, but you know what? We lived through a lot of Bucks bad years.
15 win season. Yep.
I'm an older millennial. You know, I had 2001. I'm just grateful to have this entire Giannis run. But the most likely scenario is there's a 95% chance, like, he's going to get traded this offseason. Like, your ownership, you have. That's the only play. It's if he walks after a year, you don't control any of your picks until 2031. So you're going to suck for a minimum of decade. But at least with the return package that Giannis will command, you know, like, more likely than not, you would probably trade him to either the Rockets or OKC. Both teams have a million picks. The Rockets have good young players on top of that. So you could probably get back a package of Şengün, Reed Shepard, who is just a lottery pick. They own the Suns, two of the Suns' future picks. They're probably going to suck too, you know. So you could grab two of those first. You'll probably get a minimum of 4 to 5 first-round picks and a great young player. You know, if you trade them to OKC, you'll get Chet Holmgren or Jalen Williams plus a million first-round picks. So
OKC is the one I want. If they're going to make a trade, I'd rather do it with OKC.
Yeah, personally, I would rather have Reed Shepard, Şengün, who's already all-star, in four to five first-round picks. Because they have Phoenix Suns, two of Phoenix Suns. I think they have a 27 and 29.
What if the team that wins the first pick in this year's draft, would you trade him for Cooper Flagg and a future one?
I would probably want more than that, but yes, I would. But the problem is whoever gets the first pick, unless it's like Philly, you know, like they're not going to trade Cooper Flagg. Like they would need an assurance from Giannis that he's going to extend because he only has a year left in his contract. And Giannis is playing for legacy, so he probably would extend like OKC's GM, Presti, or the Rockets GM could probably convince him to sign an extension if you traded to him. But if you trade him to anywhere else, they're not going to give you a lot because
Giannis has 2 years. Hold on. Giannis has 2 years left plus a player option in 27. So technically he's got three if he opts in 27 for $62
million. Okay. So, but he's probably not going to opt in. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it depends where they are and how good they are probably after 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. But two years guaranteed. Okay. But, yeah, I would if I could get Cooper Flagg, of course. But more likely than not, if the Bucks are going to trade him, it's going to be to a Western Conference team.
Correct.
And OKC, Houston, I could be missing someone.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
You said that it's going to be to a Western Conference team. And I immediately just think to myself, oh, yeah, of course, that makes sense. But really, at the end of the day, you're going to be bad for a while. So what does it matter where he goes? You have to take the best package, regardless if it's an Eastern or Western Conference team. It's not like when they trade Giannis, they're going to compete for a championship in 2 years.
See, this is where like the irrationality of the owners come in, about fan reaction comes in. If it's a Western Conference team, he's only coming back one time a year, you know? And then, like, if you trade him to someone in the East, he could possibly come back 2-3 times a year, and fans could be upset. So I think it lessens the blowback from Bucks fandom. But, like, I agree. If all else is equal, he's going to go to the Western Conference. But if the Eastern Conference team does blow you away, like, the owners will take the Eastern Conference team's offer. But who in the East, like, can even build a package that, like, you would like? Like, Brooklyn, like, all their firsts come from New York in their own, you know? I don't see New York sucking in the near future. So, like,
no, I hear you.
I don't know.
You're right, Ahmed. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You're right from that aspect. I mean, Washington, not much there. Charlotte, Ball, I guess, maybe. Obviously, Philadelphia, a bunch of old dudes there. I mean, Maxey, they're not going to trade Maxey, though. Maybe they would. They probably would, though, for Giannis. They'd probably trade Maxey for Giannis. But again, you've got injury-prone Joel Embiid, Paul George. I mean, I don't know. Western Conference. I'm Phoenix. Would you do Giannis for Durant and a bunch of picks? And is Durant even going to, like, want to come here and deal with all of this without Lillard? I can't see it. So I don't think that's happening. Portland's got some young dudes that maybe they would be interested. But, again, he goes back there. I don't know. San Antonio, Giannis and Wemby and De'Aaron Fox. Woo! San Antonio probably offer you anybody on their roster, right? Anybody on their roster, Jack?
I like that roster, but what if New York offers you some pieces?
Like?
Not many people love Cat, but I wouldn't mind Cat. I wouldn't mind a Jalen Brunson.
Those guys are older. I mean, if I'm making deals, I want guys in the second or third year of deals getting ready to get paid their next big deal or whatever the case may be.
You want 20 or 21-year-olds.
I want younger guys, yeah, man. I don't want guys that have been in the league 6, 7, 8 years unless they're already star players. Like, LaMelo Ball already is kind of a star. Okay, fine. Sold. I'll take LaMelo Ball. I've seen enough of him. Fine, I'm good with that. But, like, say it's the Pelicans and Zion. I don't want Zion. No chance. I'm out. Nope. Another injury-prone dude. I have no interest in Zion Williamson if it was something kind of along those lines.
Culver's would destroy him.
But again, see, I mean, realistically, if we're talking about this whole Brooklyn Nets thing that's been talked about forever, if Brooklyn wins the lottery and there's Cooper Flagg, they would do this deal for Giannis. Then you could talk about Cooper Flagg, several ones, multiple ones, and you get a young stud to build around kind of going forward. then as a Bucks fan, you feel better about things.
I think Bucks fans would like that.
Because then you'd have a star player to build around, and you don't lose Giannis for a bunch of first-round picks that are probably going to be at the end of one every year, because wherever he goes, they're not going to suck. So they're going to be at the end of one. You're not going to get impact player. If you trade Giannis for what we know is a stud player in Cooper Flagg right off the gate, now I got to start to build around again after I lost a star. It's essentially your best chance of having a superstar player is by trading him to the first overall pick if they can get that deal done. Again, we've already got Giannis out of town. I'm telling you, I do not think they're trading this dude. I could be wrong, but I don't think they're trading him with essentially 3 years left on the deal getting into his extension. I don't see it happening. Bucks come up on the losing end tonight, and there's just not a lot of positives to talk about. I mean, I have a couple. We'll get into that coming up next, but there's not a ton. 129-103, Pacers over the Bucks. If you want to vent, cry, whatever the case may be, I'm here. Nicolay Law, Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Also, tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee, Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky with you. All right, let's go inside the box score, and it's, again, there are some numbers that are okay looking. There are most numbers that are not okay looking. And again, it all comes down to defense. Game one, they stunk. Game two, they stunk. Game three, they played better. Game four, they stunk again. And yes, you can lay out the excuse in a 129-103 loss that, yes, the Bucks were deflated after Lillard left with a possible Achilles injury. Dude, listen up. You are professional athletes. People get hurt. Y'all have played every postseason with Giannis getting hurt. So suck it up, Buttercup, and let's go. Right? That's what we're doing. Let's go. But no. No. That's not how we're going to go. The Pacers shot 60% from the field. 60%. Eight different players in double figures. Eight different players in double figures. Just brutal. It's absolutely brutal. They shot 46% from three, 18 of 39. Miles Turner, 23 points, 5 boards. Nemhar, 20 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 4 of 8 from three. Haliburton, 17 points, 15 assists, 8 rebounds, and untouched by our defense. Naismith, 14 points, 5 boards, and a big mouth. Siakam, 12 points, 3 boards, and 4 assists. Off the bench, 13 points, 3 of 4 shooting from top and from 3. 12 points for Walker, 4 of 5 from 3, plus 5 boards and 3 assists. 15, 3 boards, 6 assists from McConnell. Just ridiculous. Rebounding. They got a rebound, and the Bucks did 41-33. The Bucks shoot 41.5% from the field, 40.5% from three-point range. Torian Prince, who I hadn't seen much run at all in the last game, none, somehow or another earned 15 minutes. Couldn't tell you why, have no idea why, makes no sense. Pat Connaughton, another guy, has had no run. See, when Connaughton came in, you knew it was over. That was essentially the human victory cigar was Pat Connaughton. Once that happened, that was not going. It's over. We're done. Let's go home. Not good. Kevin Porter Jr. tried 9 of 17, 5 of 7 from 3, 23 points, 5 boards, 6 assists for KPJ in this one. And that was good. And remember, Porter and Naismith got into it. Both got double-teched up. Check this out.
4:17 left in the first half. Kevin Porter Jr. and Aaron Naismith both whistled with technical fouls after this play. Naismith flexing. Kevin Porter Jr. not appreciating it. And an exchange between the two. Both slap. There's a double technical, so no free throws will take place. some chirpiness and some chippiness that we've seen in this series. And out of that timeout, Kevin Porter Jr. sinks the shot.
He's on one right now. It's kind of a mini heater for him, I mean, based on what he's done so far in this series.
He's got the last 10 points here for the Bucks.
That's great. He looks good. He's good and confident. Fine for a big offensive game the Bucks could use.
Bucks could definitely use. No question. This is the thing. Porter tried his best to get going. He really did. In fact, Naismith was on the bench a little while later, and this happened.
Brooke holding serve defensively. Now leaving him in the dust.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
At Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, we make home service easy. We guarantee same-day service and installation with no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays. Family-owned for 53 years, Four Seasons has over 30,000 five-star Google reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. For all your plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical needs, for all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Oh! Crossovers galore, and he's got the last 12 for the Bucks.
That's something to say to Aaron Neesmith as he runs back down the court. There's Neesmith's reaction.
It was pretty funny. Kevin Porter Jr. running his mouth at Neesmith after he made that basket. And the camera goes to Neesmith, and Neesmith is just kind of smiling and rolling his eyes at whatever he had to say. But again, it wasn't enough. At halftime, I tweeted out, I was like, hey man, maybe Kevin Porter Jr. and Gary Trent Jr. can do enough to maybe win this game in the second half. Maybe that can happen. But after Gary Trent Jr. gives you 37, I think it was, on Friday, I said then, he ain't going to do that again, probably. So who's going to be the next guy? Talked about Damian Lillard. It's his time. Let's go, right? Dame time coming up on Sunday night. Nope. Looks like he blew out his Achilles instead. Porter Jr., 23 points, 5 of 7 from 3, 5 boards, 6 assists. If you want to jump aboard, vent. cry, whatever the case may be. Nicolay Law fan talking text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. So 23 off the bench for him. Bobby Portis, 14 off the bench, 6 of 10, 2 of 4 from 3. The starters. You had one starter get in double figures. One starter. That's it. And, of course, that was Giannis. How many playoff games are you going to win when one of five dudes get in to double figures? How many? Giannis, 28 points, 15 boards, 6 assists, 9 of 20 from the field. That's not exactly great either. But that's the type of stuff where you just get... I might say he was got demoralized, whatever the case may be. He was still playing hard, you know, even into the third quarter.
Gary Trent Jr. short.
Let's get Giannis off balance, out of rhythm.
GT, another chance. Giannis, the pump pass done.
That was good. That was about the last highlight Giannis had of the night. That was about it. That was 80-67 in the third. That was the end of Giannis after that. Didn't do much else. It's Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky with you. Jack Pembroke producing Other Side of the Glass. Don't forget tomorrow morning, Pack-A-Day Radio Show with Andy Herbin. Get you caught up on the draft from over the weekend from 8 to 9. Then 9 to 11, it's the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis, presented to you by Verizon. They'll get you caught up on the draft, talk some Bucks basketball, probably talk some Brewers. That's 9 to 11 tomorrow. And then it's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's tomorrow afternoon, with yours truly hosting as always. 2:40 tomorrow, we'll talk with Chad Ryder of NFL.com, draft analyst, get his thoughts on the draft. 3:20, Eric Name of The Athletic will join me tomorrow afternoon to talk about this Lillard injury and if the Bucks have any hope coming into Tuesday night. 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette covers the Packers, columnist over there for the Press Gazette. He'll join us at 4 o'clock, so a pretty full show tomorrow afternoon for that one. Highlights courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network. Let's go to the Nicolay Law Talk and text line. Anthony Muskego, you're next on the Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show. What's up?
Sparky was at the game. This one hurt, man. And, you know, I think we all knew it was a must-win game as far as this season is concerned. Obviously, Dame, potential Achilles. Now we're talking about the future of the Bucks. I mean, at this point, I didn't like what I saw about the body language of Giannis after, and honestly, it's understandable, but after Lillard went down, the rest of the first half, Giannis picked it up in the third quarter, but that whole rest of the first quarter, second quarter, something just seemed off, and rightfully so. I mean, I get it, but the real question is, is Giannis going to want to stay this summer? Because you're looking at it, Brooks only getting older. He's relatively unplayable. He didn't play a whole lot tonight. If Dame is injured, he's essentially untradeable. Gary Trent's going to be a free agent. Kevin Porter Jr. is going to be a free agent. There's a ton of question marks about the future of this team. We've mortgaged the team to try to compete in the present, and this is just another devastating injury. This one hurts, Mark. I don't know. It's tough because it's kind of like it feels like a funeral of the season being at this game, walking out. It was so quiet.
And the funeral of next season. That's the worst part. Like, if it's a high ankle sprain for Lillard and we lose the series because he can't play, okay, that's one thing. But you could, essentially, if it is the Achilles, they're screwed. Absolutely screwed. And you don't have a replacement for Damian Lillard if he doesn't play next year.
Well, 1,000%. And then put yourself in Giannis' shoes. Are you willing to take yet another year, another first-round exit, and then next year, knowing that you have really nobody with you, let's be honest.
Nobody.
Brooke Lopez is going to be 38 years old. Kuzma's been a complete
bust. Lopez is a free agent, so I highly doubt they're bringing him back.
And I agree with that. And so they basically don't have a lot of money to spend regardless. Mid-level exception, Gary Trent Jr. may or may not make more than that. Maybe you can bring back Kevin Porter Jr. You're bringing back a portion of the team, and really it's like if you're Giannis – do you want to stick it out another year and hope that Damian Lillard, another year older, coming off an Achilles, that somehow you're going to make a run? I don't know, man. It's just it's a very depressing day for the Bucks. I mean, it's hard to stomach. It's hard to process right now. I had to call you on this one. It's been a while since I called you post game. Had to do it. And I hate to be a downer, but it's hard to feel anything but down about this.
So
I mean,
leaving Pfizer, everybody was just quiet?
Dead quiet, man. I mean, I'm telling you, man, it was like a funeral, and man. it's unfortunate because, you know, when the season's on the brink, you know it's going to be a solemn feeling leaving the stadium, and we all know that they had to win this game, take care of business at home to give yourself a chance, steal one on the road, and try to win this series. But we're not winning three games in a row against this team. Indiana, man, they're a good team. Unfortunately, they're very cocky, and they have the Bucks number. That's proven. They have the Bucks number. This Bucks team the last couple of years, they have the Bucks number. We're not winning three in a row, and that's unfortunate to say, but this year's over. We have to look going forward now. I mean, obviously, don't want to wave the white flag, but you got to look at the future and see. Hope to God Giannis wants to stay, man. And the craziest part is, when you think about it, if we end up losing against Indiana in game five, it's like this is potentially Giannis. It could be Giannis's last game in Milwaukee, man, and that's a sad thing. All I can say is this. We can hope for the best. I don't know. We mortgaged a lot of the future to try to compete in the present. Thank God that we got that championship, man.
Yep.
All of us never thought that was going to happen. We've been in the golden era of Bucks basketball. I hope it's not coming to an end, but it's been a hell of a ride, man. And Sparky, you've been there a long time, man, and long before even the golden age, you were there through all the tough years too. So hats off to you, my brother.
I appreciate it, man. Have a good night. Take care. There he is, Anthony Muskego. So my guy Jack Pembroke took it upon himself to go on Twitter and post a topic. Are you okay with trading Giannis, which technically I've not asked, but people responding. Todd tweets at the fan, Milwaukee, no, I want a coach who can make them play defense. Why get rid of the best offensive player? That guy from Wisconsin says you have to go the OKC route. Ron says absolutely not unless he asks for a trade, which he has never said he wanted. That's true. But this here, something we've never encountered before either. Bucks come up on the losing end tonight. Coming up next, we will hear from Doc Rivers. Bucks lose 129-103.
Let's hear what the coach has to say about today's game next on the Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bucks lose 129-103. Yes, it stakes you lose a playoff game, but that's not even what this is about. This is about Damian Lillard going down, grabbing his Achilles, sitting on the floor, kind of smirking, knowing that it probably is the Achilles, knowing exactly what happened. They pull him up. He tries to walk off under his own power, but was having problems getting back to the locker room. Just not good, because if it is the Achilles, it's probably next season. You're probably going to lose him for next season, too. ACL is 9 months. Achilles is longer. I don't know what the next move is for John Horst and Peter Fagan and Wesley Edens. How do you deal with this one in the offseason? What is your move? And what is Giannis's move? Because this will be the first time, if this is an Achilles and if Lillard is out next year, this is the first time since before that run to the Raptors series, to the Raptors Eastern Conference Finals, going back sometime, maybe back to Jabari, to where you look at the team and go, okay, you don't have enough. Like, you don't have enough to compete for a championship yet. You're getting there, but you're not there yet. It's been a long time where you go into a season and don't feel like you really have any chance to compete for a championship. And that may very well be the case next year. And what's his reaction to it? How does the organization deal with it? Like, all those things are going to have to be answered this summer. Here is Doc Rivers after the game, courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network.
Obviously, his lower leg, and just being honest, it's not very promising.
I guess just for you, as you kind of see him sitting down there on the floor, you were quick to go try to help him up.
I knew it right away. Yeah. I felt bad for him. You know, the guy tried to come back for his team, and, you know, I just felt bad for him.
I guess trying to help him through this, how do you as a coach try to help him, I guess, in any way?
Yeah, you know, this is a tough one, honestly. Blood clot followed by this, you know, it's just tough, you know. So that's why you have teammates and family, you know, around them. He's just such a great freaking dude, like, on a basketball level, but more important, like, as a teammate and a father and all that stuff. And, you know, no one deserves it, but, golly, you just look at him. And so that's why I feel bad. It's just tough. I thought, I've seen injuries, like, deflate teams, but tonight, that one hurt. I thought our guys tried, but it was tough. You know, all of them are in there at halftime, you know, in the training room, you know, really talk to a team, you know, after that. So my job over the next, you know, 40 hours or whatever we have is to get us upright again, try to win one game in Indiana and get it back here. But my brain right now is right where the same place that the players are, and that's thinking about Dame. That's just the human part of this job. That's really no fun. It really isn't. You know, it's just a tough one.
But I guess kind of off that, as you said, you've got a short window here. So what do you lean on, I guess, in all the years you've been doing this, but also I mean, it was just a few days ago that you were starting this series,
yeah,
thinking Damian wasn't playing at all, yeah, either. So
we're back to the drawing board, you know, obviously. You know, we played the one game without him. We saw some things there. We're going to look at film at that. You know, listen, we can't let a team shoot 60% from the field, no matter who's on the floor. We can't let a team shoot 46, 48% from the three. All right. We can be a better offensive team. We shot 41%, 42%. So, you know, this is a tough one to watch because of what happened. But those things can't happen either.
I guess with that, I mean, Ryan, I know, played kind of early when he subbed back in. Is that the fact that he has started a playoff game for you and then the end of the season, where's the confidence level and maybe
Ryan? Yeah, I got confidence in all our guys. And so, you know, this is one that, you know, we got to have all hands on. Like, we just got to figure it out. You know, as a staff, we got to figure out the right rotation for this group. We got to really come up with better spacing offensively and a better defensive plan for the game.
You started Bobby in the second half.
Yeah.
What were you looking for? Is that something you could take?
Yeah, just the speed. We didn't get much out of it, honestly. Though I did like it, but we didn't get much out of anything, honestly. So this is one I have to go look at and see how we can make some hay. Thanks, guys. Go ahead.
This second year in a row for you guys that, you know, your season's seriously impacted by injuries.
Yeah.
How do you kind of try to deal with that as a coach when
It's tough. You know, it's a good question. I don't know how you deal with it. You just deal with it. You know, your two best players, one have been out each year, you know. Last year, both were out for the most part. This year, you know, Giannis is playing great. Now Dame's, you know, was back, but he was never right, and then he gets hurt. So, you know, I'll make sense of it this summer, you know. Nothing you can do about it. I do know that, except for try to rally your team, get them back together, and try to win one game to get it back to Milwaukee.
Here's something for you. That was Doc Rivers, courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network. Bucks lose 129-103. And I was talking about this off the air, and I'm going to talk about it on the air now because somebody tweeted about it. The guy that tweeted about it, Law Murray, from The Athletic. Never heard of him, but tweeted about it. Doc Rivers won the 2008 championship and has seen one of his key players suffer a critical injury in almost every postseason ever since. Here's the injury list for Doc Rivers' team since 2009. 2009, he lost Kevin Garnett to a knee injury. 2010, ACL to Kendrick Perkins. 2011, Rondo with an elbow, Shaq with an Achilles. 2012, Avery Bradley with a shoulder. 2013, Rondo, ACL. 2014, Donald Sterling fiasco where he gets booted out but no injuries. 2015, Chris Paul, hamstring. 2016, Chris Paul, hand. Blake Griffin, quad. 2017, Blake Griffin, toe. 2018, they missed the playoffs. Gallinari missed 21 games. Beverly missed 11 that year. 2019, no injuries. 2020, Patrick Beverly, calf. 2021, Embiid with a knee injury. Danny Green with a calf. 22, Embiid, orbital concussion and the thumb. 23, Embiid with a knee. Last year, Giannis with a calf. Lillard with an Achilles. This year, Lillard with the blood clot and now possibly the ruptured Achilles completely. You know, kill Doc for being horrible in the postseason and blowing 3-1 leads, 3-0 leads, and all this other stuff, but don't look at the whole rest of the picture. You want to talk about, you know, the ownership group being jinxed and this team can't stay healthy, or Giannis being jinxed because he can't stay healthy in the postseason. Well, this is a marriage made in heaven then, because Doc Rivers hasn't been able to have a healthy team in the postseason either for quite some time, if you want to talk about that. They definitely hired the right coach because he's used to having guys out for playoff games and getting everything all screwed up at the end of the day. Pacers over the Bucks, 129-103. Take a timeout, come back. Other side, we'll hear from Kevin Porter Jr., who talked after the game tonight. It's Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, and free on your Odyssey app. Sparky with you. Bucks come up on the losing end tonight. 129-103. They were led by Giannis. 28 points, 15 boards. 9 of 20, 34 minutes. And yes, it would be easy to say he's the player of the game. Not going to go that way. I'm going to go Kevin Porter Jr. instead. 33 minutes, had a pickup after Damian Lillard went down with what appears to be an Achilles injury. 9 of 17, 5 of 7 from 3. 5 boards, 6 assists, 23 points for him. We'll find out more. They're doing imaging tomorrow. Doc Rivers said you heard that in the last segment after the game. And as he put it, it doesn't look good. So if that is the case, that means Lillard is probably gone for next season as well, which also would not be good, which also means then the importance of bringing back Kevin Porter Jr. raises more than likely. And then you put a lot of eggs into Kevin Porter Jr.'s basket that he can score the basketball on a consistent pace of 20 a night. Can he do that consistently if given the opportunity? With Giannis? Maybe, maybe not. Don't know.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sun. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here he is after the game.
Kevin, it was just a couple days ago we were asking all you guys, you two, about just the impact Dame has had in his return. And then just to see that type of injury in that manner, just how deflating or heartbreaking is that for you guys to experience in the moment, and you know, even going back and seeing him and talking with him?
Yeah, man. I mean, 1 through 15, you never want to see one of your brothers go down. But like you said, you know, Dame's one of them special ones, and he's very much needed, very much impactful in every way. And seeing him go down and not be able to return is definitely you know, defeating as a brother. Seeing his work getting back from, you know, his first injury that he just came back from, and then, you know, the game gods told him that, you know, he has another, you know, journey. But he's a warrior though, so hopefully, you know, it's not nothing, and he can, you know, come back fast.
You know, Doc admitted, he's like, that's a tough one, you know, an injury that
like that was deflating.
Yeah.
He's like, you could feel it within the team. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Like I said, like the impact, how much he means to us, it goes unnoticed. So like seeing him, you know, seeing him work and grind just to you know, go back out there and play with us, that, and then to have something like that happen is unfortunate. It's defeating, for sure.
Sorry. On court, it looked like you were aggressive then afterward. The crowd's trying to get involved, yourself involved, I guess, in that sort of moment when the team's leaning on you. Did you kind of feel that to a degree of like, okay, the game has to go on. So what, yeah, what can I do to re-energize the team?
Yeah, it's this business is a business of the next man up. So when things happen, you know, you got to look at what you got and figure it out. And, you know, just him being out, the games that he was out, you know, I had to take the bigger role. And, you know, as soon as that play happened, I already know, you know, I got to step up now. I got to elevate everything. And that's what I try to do, you know, just give a lot of energy, you know, any way I can, and keep the team high spirited.
There you go, Kevin Porter Jr. after the Bucks lose 129-103. Not a pretty game for the Bucks. They were down double figures most of the game. Defensively, wasn't very good either. And in fact, you can say whatever y'all want about Marcus Johnson, one way or the other. I love Marcus Johnson. I love Marcus Johnson because he speaks the truth when the truth needs to be spoken. This was in the second quarter.
Defense from the Bucks is not playoff caliber defense right now.
It looks way different in the first couple of possessions, you know?
Yeah.
Remember that first possession, the block and the turnover that they forced?
Yeah. Brooke Lopez blocked to start the game and so forth. Lisa Byington points out on FanDuel Sports Network. Again, just layups, all kinds of stuff, whatever they wanted to do. Physicality, gone. Gone. Said it after game two. They got more physical in game three. Still nobody's knocked Halliburton on his tail end. Now Neesmith can be another one they can knock on his tail end for all I care. You just have to do it at some point here, I think. If not, then just mail it in for Tuesday night, get blown out in that game like you did the first two games, and call it a season, right? Good luck. Maybe I'll see some of y'all on the roster next year. Probably not. You're going to find out a lot about the character of what's on this roster based on what this game looks like on Tuesday. If they get hammered by 20, then what we learned was that Friday wasn't real. That wasn't real. Gary Trent's 37 is the reason they won, which is what I said. And the defense played better. They played more physical, so they definitely deserve credit for that for sure. But it clearly wasn't real. And games one, game two, game four, and if they get blown out on Tuesday, game five, and the lack of defense in those four games was a truer testament of what this actually was. Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Got a bunch of tweets coming in as well at the Fan Milwaukee. Let's see here. Trevor tweets at the Fan Milwaukee. Pacers are far better than the Bucks. Much better coach team, too. Even with Giannis and Dame both healthy this season, Pacers are still the superior team. No doubt. Bucks need to reevaluate a ton of stuff. Yeah, absolutely. I would say reevaluating is something that has to happen. Sean tweets at the Fan Milwaukee in regards to talking about possibly trading Giannis. You trade him, that arena is empty for the next decade plus. Didn't learn from the Ray Allen trade or the Luka trade, question mark? You don't trade franchise cornerstones. Let him finish his career because you have no guarantees of finding a superstar for another 30 years. Sean, maybe you weren't listening. Maybe not. Maybe he's not listening at all. But as I pointed out earlier, and I will point out again, A, I don't think they're going to trade him. And B, if they do trade him, I think the best option would be if you can convince whoever it is at one with Cooper Flagg sitting there, if you can figure out a way to get Cooper Flagg as part of a Giannis trade, then you feel a lot better about things going forward, right? Cooper Flagg and a couple of ones, whatever. you're in a much better position to have a star player going forward. Because I agree, if you trade Giannis for a bunch of future ones to a team that's going to have Giannis for the next several years, they're not going to be lottery ones. They're not going to be anywhere close to a lottery one if Giannis is on a team like OKC or Houston or whatever. Definitely not happening. And as far as the OKC and Houston thing, like I said earlier, I'd much rather deal with OKC than Houston. Now, Chad Holmgren, I think he is fragile and thin and so forth, so I don't think I want to deal with that. But that at least would be something maybe the fans can get around him and whatever else. But and as far as you say about it being a vacant stadium, yeah, I agree. It won't be the first time it's vacant. So, I mean, you can push this to Giannis' deal is officially done in 3 years if he picks up his player option, and then say, okay, we'll just let him walk for nothing, and then we'll start over with absolutely no capital whatsoever coming back for him. I guess you could go that way, right? And just be like, oh, at least we got 3 more years of one-and-done playoffs or whatever the case may be. Because if Lillard is out next year, that ends next year. You're not trading a hurt Lillard with a blown-up Achilles. You could have maybe traded Lillard this offseason if healthy, but that is probably ruined. Whoops. Oh, man. I accidentally hung up on Enan Hartford. Maybe Enan Hartford will call back. I'm sorry. I hit lines 1 and line 2 at the same time and accidentally hung up on Enan Hartford. He's calling back, I think. So Jack will screen this, and then we'll get Enan Hartford back on. That was completely my fault. I apologize, Enan Hartford. My fat finger hit 2 lines at the same time. What's going on?
You just didn't want to deal with me tonight.
No. It's fine. All Everybody right. is depressed at this point, so go ahead.
Well, I'm depressed because of the future. I'm not depressed because of this year.
Yes, the future, too. Yes, sure.
I mean, they weren't winning this game regardless. The injury, I don't think, had anything to do with anything. He wasn't good again to start the game.
Did it matter for the lack of defense? Because he's not a defensive player anyhow.
No, and their defense, I mean, it was embarrassing.
Yep.
Kuzma, this defensive guy you're supposed to bring in, he was getting, I mean, everybody got blown by. It doesn't matter who you say. Guys were just getting blown by. It was crazy. And then you get guys like Taurean Prince, and I don't know why this happens to the Bucks, but it does. Easily last year. These guys stink once the playoffs come. They're terrible. How does that happen to us? I mean, now Malik Beasley's in Detroit, and he's been awesome for them. So I don't get why these guys in Milwaukee always stink. But
I don't have an answer for that.
I know. It just doesn't make any sense at all. I heard some comments earlier on the way home about Doc, and I mean, Doc has his faults, but what are you supposed to do with a guy like Lopez? I mean, it's like professional courtesy. Are you really benching? You're really benching a guy out of the starting lineup, 20-year vet. Is there any coach in the league that's really going to do something like that?
This is the thing. I don't know if he officially gave up at some point in the second half. Because when you put Pat Connaughton in and Taurean Prince comes in, to me, that was him saying, we're done. That's what Pat it said Connaughton, to me. I don't know hilarious. If you agree or not. What?
Well, Pat Connaughton, that was hilarious. When that happened, I was like, what are we doing? I mean, what is going on?
That was the human victory cigar moment. That's what that was.
Yeah. It's like, what is going on? So, and I've told you before, my opinion with the way this team was is that they needed to trade Lillard in the offseason to try to get any, get a one or maybe a couple of them to do a quick rebuild around Giannis. That was how I thought they could potentially get a quicker rebuild. Well,
that's over.
Obviously that's done. And, people then call up and say, well, you don't know what Giannis is going to say in the offseason. Giannis isn't saying anything. He's never said anything. He's never once acted like he's going to leave. All he said is, as long as they keep trying to win, I'm happy, blah, blah, blah. these people that get in this thing of him, oh, well, who knows what he's going to think. Now, no, you're listening to the four-letter network way too much and all the BS they keep throwing
out.
Okay,
Ian, tell me this. So you're Giannis. As long as they try to win, you have no Damian Lillard all of next year. So how do the Bucks prove to him that they're trying to win? What do they do?
Well, I don't know what they're going to try to do, but he also is going to know, like, well, it's not the organization's fault.
Maybe, but he could very well look at this and go, there's no Lillard this year.
You're buying into this stuff now.
A whole lot of second. Just think about it. If Lillard's out this year, now he comes back the next year. Normally, it's the second year after that, and then the year after that he comes back. How much longer does he think Lillard's going to be here? You yourself said they're stuck with him now, right? So you can't trade him for a star. So how are they going to get him a star player to play with him for the next 3 years? How is that going to happen? And if the answer is you can't, then how are they going to win with him?
You can't. But that doesn't mean they're not trying to still do things to be a winning organization. I'm just telling you, I do not believe he will ever walk into that office and say, you guys got to trade me.
That's fine. And he very well may not. All I'm saying is, if he does, I totally get it.
Well, okay, fine. But I don't believe he will do that. He's not that kind of person. And he never once ever said that he doesn't want to be here.
Correct.
And this is all the
he said a month or two ago that they would have to kick him out dragging and screaming to leave this franchise. So yes.
But the scary part of this is the only way there's no way to make this team better now.
Nope.
Done. Okay, Lopez is gone. You can try to get rid of Portis. Gary Trent Jr.'s, he's our Malik Beasley. He's going to be gone more than likely because he's going to get a big deal. I mean, we're not paying him $25 million, are you? Would you pay Malik or Gary Trent Jr. $25 million a year?
No chance.
$20 million a year?
Nope.
No way.
Nope.
No way. Not at his age either. No way. So you're really stuck. And you got Rollins, Porter Jr. You got to figure out how to get Porter Jr. back again. And now his price tag probably goes up because they know you're desperate.
It's just absolutely brutal.
You know, Lopez is gone. You got to get rid. Lopez is. I actually think Lopez is part of the biggest reason of why we're so bad. Drop defense was a. It's like any sport where something works for a while,
and then they figure it out.
Yes, NFL. You want to talk about like. Wildcat or something.
Yep.
That's kind of what drop defense was. It was good for a couple year stretch. Well, now it's a disaster in this league.
Because people know how to take advantage of them.
And the one thing I was always hype, I'm sorry for going on and on here, but the one thing I always hype back on when PJ Tucker came here, he was the guy that came out and said, we're done with this switching stuff. We're not switching everything. You guard your freaking guys, and they literally pretty much stopped the automatic switch. Well, they're back to that, and there was multiple times again tonight where a guy he's so lazy that it's a drop back automatic switch, and the other guy doesn't switch because there was no reason to drop back so far off a guy and just to switch, so the other guy wasn't even ready, and it's like, so now we're switching guys wide open because the other guy doesn't think we're actually switching. And it's just like there's no pride in individual defense because of whatever system we're running. And it was evident tonight multiple times just how screwed up that got.
It was beyond screwed up. But this is the thing. I don't understand. Ian, thanks for the call. I don't understand. And I said this after game two. I do not understand at all why exactly nobody wants to put a Pacer on their butt. I don't get it. For the love of God, I do not understand it at all. I don't get it. So this has to be fixed. So either Doc is going to tell them to be physical and do something, or they're going to get hammered again. I mean, again, you got Halliburton, like, dancing down the sideline there in the fourth quarter. Like, just dancing. Do-do-do-do-do. That's in your house. It's in your house. Giannis is on the bench with his hands over his head, like, looking up at the ceiling like, oh, my God. You got to be kidding me. But the craziest part about this is that you could go to Giannis and go, that's how your teammates have felt the last several years when you aren't playing with them in the playoffs. Now you know how it feels. Because they all had to go through it when you were hurt every year. Now you're actually healthy and the other star player is hurt. And the reason they got Lillard, was because you were always hurt and Drew Holiday couldn't score enough to keep up his end of the bargain with him and Middleton having to do it by themselves without you. That's why they got Lillard. And now Lillard is out 2 years in a row. That's the one thing about this. If Giannis is mad, great. If Giannis is frustrated, fine. But Giannis must understand there is not much this organization could do with this Lillard injury. There's not much. There's not many ways they can go to make this thing where you are a championship caliber level team going into next season. Those of you that want to get rid of Doc makes no damn sense now. None. There's no reason to get rid of Doc. Because no matter who the coach is next year, they're screwed. So Doc Rivers, if I'm paying Doc, he's coaching. Figure it out. You got all summer. Figure it out. Figure it out and we go back at it again. All right, Jack Pembroke, do you have the audio I was looking for? Do we have it? Are we set? Are you recording the audio? Yes, okay. There is a piece of Giannis audio that I want to play before we wrap this up. And this will probably pretty much sum up the evening from Giannis's perspective. So once Jack has that done, we'll play that back for you. Game number 5 is Tuesday night at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock tip. So 6 o'clock Indiana time, 5 o'clock Milwaukee time. If they win that game, then game 6 is going to be Friday night. Now, if the 4 series that are left, I believe, are all in game 6s, the Bucks are going to end up with another 8:30 tip time next Friday night, if that happens. Now, if all 4 series aren't still in game 6s, and if there are 3 series in game 6s, then they're going to have a much better chance of having possibly a 7 o'clock start or something more normal. But just a heads up, if 4 of them are going, then they're going to get stuck with the late game again in Milwaukee again. At least this time, it'll be Friday night and not Sunday night. Thank God. Thank goodness for that. Jack, do you have the audio? It's a minute and 41 seconds. You've got to have the audio by this point. It does not appear Jack has the audio. Do you have the audio, Jack? Yes? No? No? Okay. Well, we're going to wrap up the show. Jack can't seem to figure out getting the audio here. So they will have it tomorrow morning on the Pack-A-Day radio show, hopefully, because I'll go grab the audio, or on the Mason Crosby show with Mitch Thunder Nellis, served up to you by Verizon. Thanks so much, Verizon, for being a key part of the Fan and being a key part of the Mason Crosby show. Really do appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your night. Have a good one, everyone. Toodles.
The final buzzer has sounded and the game's over. It's time to talk about who played well and who didn't. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Now let's get to your calls and reaction from the game with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.